Nolan.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court, I argue here on behalf of the intervenor schools, four of which are religiously affiliated. I'd like to say one thing at the beginning with respect to the statement that Mr. Pfeffer made, to the effect that these schools discriminate in admissions against persons not of their religious faiths. The four religiously affiliated schools have each executed answers to plaintiff's interrogatories, answer five, denying that they impose religious restrictions or preferences on admissions. And I think that that is borne out, at least as to the Roman Catholic schools, by the fact that in Manhattan, in the elementary schools conducted by the Archdiocese of New York in Manhattan, 16.5% of the children in those schools are non-Catholic. And there are various other statistics for other areas, but I think that at least the schools in New York take great pride in the fact that far from discriminating against non-Catholics in admissions, they have consciously kept open schools in inner city, core areas, where the population of Catholics has declined. They have kept those schools open, and they are taking care, in an educational sense, of significant numbers of non-Catholics. And I think that
is... Has that fact been found or not found in the record?
There is nothing in the record, Your Honor, with respect to that. There are the answers to admissions, but I checked yesterday as to what the percentage...
Well, how about any opinions or the findings in this case?
I don't believe so, no, sir.
So how should we judge it?
But there is no
so
evidence...
So how should we judge it? That they do discriminate or that they don't?
There is no evidence to support any claim that they do discriminate.
I take it then that the...
And there is affirmative evidence with respect to the four religiously affiliated schools in answers to interrogatories in which they each deny that they discriminate on the basis of religion in terms of...
Was this argument presented below?
No, sir.
Well, if this case had gone to trial, I take it a trier of fact would have been at liberty to disbelieve the statements made.
That is right.
But it didn't go to trial.
It did not. It went off in the context almost of a summary judgment.
But in this case, at any time, has it been argued that because these schools, one of the reasons why this money may not be given to these schools is that they discriminate?
Has that claim ever been made in this case? No. No, I do not believe so.
If it had and the court didn't decide it, you would think the court has said, well, even if they discriminate,
That point was never raised, to my knowledge, either in the first or second phases of this case.
And if you went to trial, whose burden would it be to show exclusion of...
I would think it would be the plaintiff's burden, but I think we would put in statistical evidence with respect to the number of non-Catholic children in the various Catholic, Jewish, Lutheran, and other schools that are involved in the program under review. Getting back to this program, and I don't want to go over again what Mrs. Siegel has said, but I think it is worthwhile talking a little bit about just what this program is. First of all, it involves attendance keeping and reporting. This is required by the state of New York. This is not something the schools do on a voluntary basis, although they very well might, but it is required to ensure compliance with the compulsory education law of New York. The people who keep these records, or compile these records, and this is based on the stipulation of fact, which is a part of the appendix. The people who compile these records are typically secretaries in the main office or the front office of the school. They are not people who have anything to do with the educational or the instructional function. They are simply counting heads on a daily basis to be able to make the reports that are required by the state of New York. And I fail to see any ideological content in that type of activity. I may say that, as the district court found, the great bulk, the lion's share, I think was said, of the money that is paid, 85-90%, somewhere through there, is for the maintenance of attendance records, the preparation of attendance reports.
What percentage?
85-95%, I think, was the phrase used in the district court opinion, but it's the great bulk, the lion's share, as Judge Mansfield said.
Are these records identical to those required from the public schools?
As I understand it, they are, Your Honor. They are the same forms that are used. The parochial schools are required, and it may also be that the public schools are also required to submit various reports based on those records, and also to submit the so-called BEDS report, which goes in once a year, the Basic Educational Data System report, which shows on a yearly basis pupils, faculty, courses given, and other information concerning the schools. And I think that is done both for the public and the non-public schools.
Mr. Nolan, why is Horace Mann Barnard School here at all when the plaintiff, through Mr. Pfeffer, concedes the validity of the application of the state law to school, to that school and schools like it?
Horace Mann Barnard School was initially joined because of the attack on the statute. Horace Mann is a fairly large school with a stake in the financial side of this.
But non-denominational.
It is non-denominational, and I think
that... Conceitedly so, isn't it?
Yes, and I think that Mr. Pfeffer, for the first time, in the proceedings before the court on the second phase of this case, agreed that he really sought no relief against Horace Mann. But basically what I am here
just
talking
there,
about...
here as a historic vestige.
Historic vestige. What I'm here talking about are the religiously affiliated schools, which to some degree conform and to some degree do not conform, according to the answers to interrogatories, with the profiles that have been used by this court in the past. But getting back to what this statute does, apart from attendance, it provides for various testing, standardized, state-prepared tests, which are prepared by the Department of Education of the state of New York to be made available to public and non-public schools, or made available to non-public schools. They are the same tests that are made available and used in the public schools. These basically involve several types of tests. The Regents Scholarship Examinations, which are given to persons seeking New York State Regents Examinations at the end of high school. These are prepared by and graded by the personnel of the New York State Education Department. The only thing that the schools do, the non-public schools do, would be to receive the test under very secure circumstances, sealed, kept in under lock and key, distribute those tests at the place of testing, pick them up, send the test back to Albany, and I suppose keep order in the classroom. We also have the Pupil Evaluation Program, the PEP, and that is a test that is given, I think, in third and perhaps sixth and ninth grades to measure competence in reading and mathematics, and is basically, in fact, is completely an objective, multiple-choice type test. It is given, again, to children in non-public and public schools. It is graded in the non-public schools either by machine or by hand by the personnel of the school, but basically what you're talking about is simply the teacher putting an overlay, and I'm referring now to Exhibit 11, to the stipulation of fact, which is the one of the New York State tests in reading for grade 9, is simply put the overlay over and see which places the child has marked properly. There's no discretion at all involved in it. Then you have the Regents examination, which are the end of course examinations that are given in a number of secular subjects in the public schools and in the private schools. And these are the ultimate measures, if you will, of educational competence in secular subjects in New York.
Is that an optional test?
I believe all students take it, but you can only get a Regents degree if you have passed the Regents examination. But I believe it is required for all children. But this is, again, to a very large extent, as found by the district court, a objective multiple-choice examination type test where there is no discretion in the grading process. There are a few, as found by the district court, a very few essay questions on various topics relevant to the particular examination. Those are graded by the school personnel. But the state provides, along with the examinations, the state provides rating guidelines, specific rating guidelines as to how these people are to do it. And in addition, the schools are required to send both the passing and failing papers to Albany, where they are checked by state personnel on a random basis. So again, there is minimal opportunity for any involvement. They're certainly at that stage in the game. These tests have nothing to do with the instructional phase of education. The only thing that I can think of would be the possibility that some child might try to curry favor with a teacher by using a religiously oriented answer. But that is indoctrination, if you will, coming back the other way. It is not indoctrination of the child. I think that this statute is in all respects constitutional under Wollman, as I think it is modified by Meek. Even if it is not modified by Meek, I think it is constitutional under Meek.
Very well, Mr. Nolan. Mr. Becker.
One of the questions which was put by Mr. Justice Rehnquist deals with the whether these schools, and was also answered by Mr. Nolan, whether the schools which have intervened in this case do discriminate in their admission policies in respect to religion. We didn't sue these interveners. They voluntarily intervened, and therefore those who intervened, what I would assume were intervened because they reflected the best possible picture. But I don't think that's really the issue. I think that avoids the issue. The basic concept.
They're the only litigants we have before the court in that aspect of the case.
Yes. And I say that evidence is irrelevant for this reason, which I will state in a moment. The
Why don't you state it right
I'm
now?
I'm saying it right now. I mean right now. The constitutional issue in this case is not whether these schools or other schools do or do not discriminate on basis of religion. The constitutional issue in this case is predicated on the fact that I have a right, a constitutional right, to exclude on the basis of religion. Whether or not...
But that wasn't how you phrased your argument on your original submission during your direct... You stated discrimination as a fact.
If I did that, I apologize. My argument is that they have a constitutional protected right under Pierce versus Sire Sisters and others to exclude on the guises of religion. Whether they exercise that right or not is not in the factual of this case. They should not constitutionally be allowed to receive taxes from all, irrespective of religion, if they have a constitutional right to exclude on the guises of religion. This is the foundation of our case.
You say that whether these schools exclude on the basis of religion or not, these payments are unconstitutional.
Yes, because they have the right to exclude. That's what I'm saying. Because they right to exclude on the basis of a religion, then I say you cannot tax all people to pay for the maintenance of a school which can exclude you if they want.
So it isn't because these schools are religiously connected that you...
Oh, yes. It is because they're religious.
Well, what about a private school that isn't controlled by any religion that... Just decides that it just doesn't like Methodists.
Well,
and they just here's a private school, it just excludes Methodists.
Well, Methodists is excluded on the basis of religion.
Well, Pierce was decided before the First Amendment was held applicable to the states. Yeah. It was on the constitutional 14th Amendment right. You have a right to send your child to a private school.
No question about it. And as a matter of fact, Pierce involved a secular school as well as a religious school. No question about it. But the issue in Pierce, and I don't think there's any member of the court would say that a school which is constitutionally permitted to exclude persons because of their religion.
Well,
nevertheless,
what
have
about
a
Horace Mann in this case? Horace Mann has the constitutional right to exclude on the basis of religion if it wants to.
If they have a constitutional right,
doesn't it?
Yes, but if they do
then I don't understand why you don't say that...
If Horace Mann Horace Mann receives money. It has a constitutional right to explore based on religion, but it has no constitutional right to receive public funds if it does exclude on the basis of religion.
Well, you've changed your position now considerably.
You've changed your position completely.
Which is all right. That's the way lawyers certain. Go.
Well, I don't believe my position is
you've
one.
You've vacillated all over the law.
Oh, I don't think so. I repeat what I said at the beginning. I'll repeat it. It's been our position all along that if you have a constitutional right to exclude because of religion, you cannot constitutionally use funds raised by compulsory taxation of all irrespective of their religion. This is the categorical imperative which I believe the First Amendment stands upon. Now, I suggest too that independent of that, surveillance, which is forbidden in respect to religion, is necessary. State surveillance is necessary to if public funds are used for that school, whether it's record keeping, whether it is instruction. If you use public funds, then the state has a right to see to it that those funds are used in accordance with the laws of the state. The very involvement, entanglement of the state to check whether the law, and this court has said so, I'm not inventing this, to check whether or not the law is complied with, that very surveillance constitutes impermissible entanglement which forbids the use of public funds in that case. That's what this court has said time and time again.
Your time has expired now. Thank you, gentlemen. The case is submitted. We'll hear arguments next.